Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Android12. And by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and My Ford Touch. Now your car can be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 39, recorded on Monday, December 19th, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And today we'd like to welcome Nicole Lee.
That's right. Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome back. Oh, yeah. I wasn't on the show.
Yeah, you were out.
Yeah, you were gone. You were in Paris while I was here.
You're packed to never be on a show with Nicole Lee. What? Oh, oops, I'm sorry. Wow, this
we're
is awkward.
Here. Oops. Nicole is the new producer of our show, Before You Buy, a new product show.
That's right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that show later.
I'm sure we will.
But thank you for being on the show. We've got a lot of stuff that we want to talk about with you, including ICS.
Yes.
And this week, we are going to be talking about Apple's patent win over HTC, what that really means, Verizon's Galaxy Nexus. Guess
maybe
who's
a little
got
bit.
Some? Yeah. Eric Schmidt is saying some more stuff. And then the arena is a grab bag of apps. Man, we've got a lot to talk about. I didn't think we were going to have anything to talk about. And then all of a sudden, boom, Monday came.
Yeah, totally. It's been a big news day today, actually.
Yeah, really, really big. Ron, we miss you live in studio.
Yes. But I'm glad you're home for the holidays in New York.
Aw, you're a big Christmas guy. all right. Well, you know what? Let's just get into our news.
Let's do it.
So speaking about news breaking today, Apple, everywhere is saying, you know, they win the patent victory over HTC, a patent victory over HTC, and basically wins a ban of HTC devices importing starting April 19th, 2012. But the banned importation and sale of Android devices are those that are running Android 1.6 to 2.2. And it's, there's so much legalese here, but it's really pinpointing patent 647, a data tapping patent, a patent on an invention that marks up phone numbers and other types of formatted data in an unstructured document. I'm reading this from FOSS Patents, by the way, such as an email in order to enable users to bring up other programs, such as a dialer app that process such data. HTC says that there's already a workaround, and they say themselves that they respect the decision. They're going to remove the said or offending UI experience, but that they say is a very small UI experience. And, you know, again, they've found a workaround. This is their official statement that they gave to Android Central. We are gratified that the commission affirmed the judge's initial determination on the 721 and 983 patents and reversed its decision on the 263 patent and partially on the 647 patent. We are very pleased with the determination. We respect it. However, the 647 patent is a small UI experience and HTC will completely remove it from all of our phones soon. Okay. That said, that's what's going on. I have a lot of thoughts about this. One being that if you have a phone 1.6 to 2.2, we've talked about it before, upgrade if you can. I understand now this is going to really hurt maybe some burner phones or some of the, you know, stats that I think Android has as you know, most Android phones sold. But does this really hurt HTC in the long run? I'm not quite sure it does. What do you guys think?
I do think, you know, there are definitely concerns that it's a slippery slope, right? So if they can get this passed, what's next? Will all HTC phones eventually fall victim to this particular patent filing? I mean, I don't know. It depends on how much they change the UI, I guess, on how drastically different it is. But for now, I don't think it's that big a deal just because it's only for those particular firmware updates from 1.6 to 2.2. And most phones these days, if they're not upgradable to 2.3, they should be released with 2.3 at least anyway. And ICS is out, right? So phones going forward will be released with ICS on it, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And I think going forward, it won't be as much of a as big of a deal, I don't think.
Yeah, and actually, there's a little bit of information in the chat room. iMac Arizona, or AZ, I'm assuming it's Arizona, says the order isn't limited to any older versions, could include all Android versions on HTC, which was kind of what I was wondering about this. If it's specifically 1.6 to 2.2, you know, granted, some companies are releasing phones with 2.2, but I would guess that HTC probably isn't doing that much anymore. Yeah. And if they are, it would be a device for some unknown reason. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're at least starting with Gingerbread. And now I would imagine their prime directive is to go ice cream sandwich. So if it's limited to those devices, you know, between those, at this point, pretty old, know, OS versions, it wouldn't make that big of a difference, especially considering the fact that this applies only to the sale and importation of those devices.
I think the reason why they restricted it to those particular firmware updates because the UI, kerfuffle has been fixed in 2.3, essentially. And in ICS, it'll probably be fixed as well because the UI is completely different, you know.
So is this, so then I guess what we had the, what we don't know, or maybe we do, is this an issue with Android specifically, or is this an issue with HTC is doing over the top of it? Because we've talked in the past about, like, why doesn't Apple go after Google? Why do they go over the individual Samsung manufacturers for things that are built into the OS? And I think the answer was just that it's a lot easier to go after the device manufacturers and force them to work around it than it is to go after the big guy. But if this is baked into Android, then it's just HTC patching holes over baseline of Android. Mm-hmm. And then of course, ice cream sandwich was a pretty radical change too. So maybe Google has done, hopefully, what they need to do to kind of work around some of these patches as well.
Ron, any thoughts?
Not really. I just like how the HTC guy acknowledged the findings. I like that. That was enjoyable. Yeah. What it boils down to is that, I mean, it's a pain in the butt for HTC because they've got a whole bunch of stock that they can't import and they can't sell. And so if anything, it affects HTC's operations. But, these things happen. And so it sounds like they're going to do what they need to do and just move forward. And I think it's interesting because it's the United States Trade Commission. So what happens internationally? Now, is this going to get is this set precedent for international markets, and that sort of question? But,
yeah, I mean, if HTC is going through the work to make these changes to the phones, do they then splinter themselves and go? Well, we're going to continue doing it for our European.
If we can get away with it over here, then they just shift the stock and send it over to Europe.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Hopefully, this means that the native ICS interface gets more of a prominent feature in future phones. They don't get as skinned as much as previous versions of Android.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
That could be a good sign, actually.
I fear that that's not going to happen. Because when you look at ice cream sandwich, we're going to talk a lot about ice cream sandwich a little bit later, but when you look at it, it's such a drastic change in and of itself. It could almost be seen as a skin in and of itself. If some manufacturer was to come along and, some unknown manufacturer was to come along, and they could create a skin that looks very much like that, and it would just be a new skin out in the market filled with skins. So all of these manufacturers are creating their own skins. My fear is that they're going to end up creating their skins and they're going to look a lot like the old ones. They might have a little bit of these features, including face lock is built in somehow.
But that's where it gets really weird, because if you're talking about patenting and dealing with skins and UI interface and stuff like that, I mean, you're going back to the whole Windows versus Mac OS kind of the concept of folders and a GUI and things like that, and how can you patent a chair, how much in terms of interface design, how much is patentable? Like, I imagine it's not so much the concept of unlocking your phone with a numeric code, but the code, underlying code underneath it, that you've got to create your own and do your own method of it. But there are certain UI interfaces that are standard across these devices, and we always end up back at the problem with the patent system.
I really do.
The patent system. All right.
Don't you just love it? Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on here. kind of, you know, somewhat related to what we're talking about here, but more in the, you know, the fragmentation side of things. Mm-hmm. You may recall at Google I.O. Earlier this year, when a certain promise was made, I was pretty excited to hear the promise personally. Care of Google and a large collection of wireless vendors, an update alliance was forming that would result in every new Android phone receiving timely OS updates for at least 18 months after their launch date. Well, fast forward 7 months to where we are now, and no follow-up news has hit regarding this alliance. And I've been really surprised about that because I was very excited at Google I.O. to hear about that. Even further, PC Mag has reached out to Motorola, Samsung, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, questioning them about device updates in the queue, and more specifically about the pledge that was made months earlier. And not one manufacturer opted to answer whether they were willing to stick to the pledge. In fact, not one of them seemed to even acknowledge the pledge at all, which is kind of, I mean, 7 months. I didn't imagine that when we were hearing it on stage that it was the pledge and that was, you know, it starts now. But I imagined that sometime by the end of the year, we'd hear a little bit more about how they've kind of coordinated, you know, we're making a concerted effort
or
to make this
a reality. Or at least have a solid schedule in place. Oh, it's
something.
We're hoping to roll it out in March or in April, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of a bummer. I'm not personally willing to say that the pledge is done and dead. The PC Mag article kind of makes that claim. It's like it's all but dead at this point. Nothing's happened, and I don't know if I'm willing to go there quite yet. But they really, if they're taking this pledge seriously, they really do need to kind of step out and kind of follow it up. And if they don't, Google really needs to kind of come out
Somebody
and clarify,
does,
like,
yeah.
what happened? Go yeah. on. Why can't you pull this off? Because it's a big deal.
In the PC Mag article, they did note that Sony Ericsson and HTC are the two of the few, I guess, that have publicly committed to upgrading its entire mm-hmm. 2011 line to, you know, well, recent line anyway, to Ice Cream Sandwich. So yeah. those two at least have pledged publicly that, you know, they'll release ICS soon.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting about that is they're pledging that they're going to do what, you know, what the they're pledging what the pledge that they all kind of talked about and agreed to earlier. They're kind of agreeing to the points of it, right?
Yes, yes.
But no one's acknowledging the pledge itself. No one's saying... Right. No one's saying, yes, we vow to follow this. It's more when we talk to Motorola, they say, well, we're going to update, you know, the Bionic and we're going to update this. And, you know, so they're talking about how they're going to update all these phones. But they're probably, you know, that's probably not a complete comprehensive list of all their phones that if following this pledge, of 18 months would cover all of their phones. And they refuse to acknowledge that.
But that's not a surprise. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, if you got a bunch of independent companies who are all doing their own things, neither is going to step up and say, yes, we're doing this until the other ones do it.
I know, that's true.
And so it's kind of everybody going like this, waiting for, waiting for either Google to say, listen, we need to do this. Exactly. So I'm not surprised at all. Yeah.
It's like, it's way back in April. That was months ago.
I know,
everyone's forgotten about it by now.
I suppose I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed. Yeah. So
it's very disappointing.
You can be disappointed. I think that's okay. but in non-disappointing news, and interesting news, actually, good old Eric Schmidt, our buddy Schmidt, was talking to an Italian newspaper, and he started talking about Google's plans to rival the iPad, and that he says in the next 6 months, we plan to market a tablet of the highest quality. We're ramping up the brutal competition between Apple and Google Android.
He loves that six months. Cycle that we talked about last week.
Well, he's such an ex-CEO. CEOs always want the timeline and that sort of thing. But this brings up rumors of will we see a Nexus tablet? Will there be like the official Google Nexus tablet in 6 months? And that would be pretty cool. It makes sense because they've led the way with the handsets, with the phone, saying this is the phone that we christen as the Nexus. So why wouldn't they do that on the tablet?
Honestly, I was hoping the Zoom, remember the Zoom?
Oh,
I was hoping the Zoom would be the Nexus tablet.
Yeah.
But that didn't really turn out to be that way.
It doesn't sound like Google is integrated with Motorola to the level that we want after that announcement of them buying Motorola's mobile division yet.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it could be one day.
It's not done yet, right? The deal isn't done.
Yeah. And as we learned from AT&T and T-Mobile, sometimes it doesn't finish. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Sometimes it just goes away.
That's true.
It goes
one
away.
Of the pull out. I think this one will happen. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, I mean, what
you totally pulled out.
What do we expect out of a Nexus tablet? Like, what is the thing that we expect to get out of a Nexus tablet? When the Zoom launched, it launched with vanilla, vanilla experience.
Yeah, a vanilla experience. But that was the whole, well, that was the ideal. That was the hope of the Zoom. Was that
there was some, you know, stuff in there that I didn't want, like music and, I mean,
but was that Motorola music or was
That's
it?
That's what I mean, yeah. So, I think
so
it
there
was,
like, bloatware on there.
That was some
a little bit.
On
okay.
There.
All right. Well, there's bloatware on the Galaxy Nexus, the LTE version.
Yeah, there is.
There's a couple of, but you know, I think Verizon insists that two of those.
That's kind of one of those things,
there.
Right? You make a deal with the devil, like you have to give in, right?
Right.
Well, I guess in terms of your question, the tablet has to have, you know, ICS on it. It has to be just a smoother experience than we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. They can do more.
I mean, I have a hard time kind of figuring out how I'd even answer that question because, like, the tablet I have, the Galaxy Tab 10.1. Granted, I got it at Google I/O, but I mean, it was vanilla. It was a vanilla honeycomb experience. There wasn't any bloatware on there,
right.
And it was actually a pretty good form factor. And for its time, when it released, it was
maybe
a pretty
it would
nice
just
device.
Be
what kept that from being a
Galaxy
device?
Nexus but bigger?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's basically what the Nexus tablet would be. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think probably the check from Samsung is what's keeping it.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Google, like whatever the deal that needs to be struck in order for that got the phone to be the official Nexus one.
Totally.
I bet you that's, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Galaxy Tab, if it's a Samsung tablet, given the partnership so far.
That's true.
But I doubt it's anything because the hardware isn't where Google wants it to be or anything like that. Yeah. I wouldn't expect anything more than what we know Ice Cream Sandwich can do. It's just a matter of having, you know, a lot of support from Google behind it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace. Fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog about thumb rings, about whatever you want. It's really easy to go on there and make a site for free super fast. There's an easy-to-use UI. There's all these widget modules that you can build in around social networks. Importing your blog is very easy to import your blog. And they don't keep your data there. If you import your blog into Squarespace and try it out and you even decide to, you know, stick with Squarespace for a while, and then later you want to kind of take your data out, they make it really easy to export your data back, so they don't hold it hostage. They have online support and resources, forums, just a huge community backed support of people just kind of exchanging tips and tricks. It's actually really cool because when you get an idea for, hey, I wonder if I could do this, and it isn't instantly available through kind of the UI and the options that you have through the Squarespace site, you can go into the forums and do a search for it, and I found some really cool tips that, you know, people who are a lot smarter than I am at building web pages and CSS and doing all that kind of back-end work posted up there in a really easy-to-read way, and you can kind of make your site look even cooler. I think it's one thing to talk about Squarespace. It's another thing to actually go in there and play around with the controls and see just how easy it is. So why don't you check it out? For a free trial, go to squarespace.com. Sign up for the free account. No credit card is even needed. You don't need a credit card to do this. Just try it out. Start building your website and see where it takes you. Then if you decide to purchase it, you can use our offer code Android12 and get 30% off for 3 months. So again, that's squarespace.com. Use offer code Android12. And you'll get 30% off for 3 months. And I think you'll love it. I love Squarespace. It really makes it easy to update my site.
We're going to talk about Galaxy Nexus coming up right now in hardware. So how about galaxynexusrocks.squarespace.com?
If it's not taken already.
If it's not taken already. Let's try that. Because we're going to tell you now. We're going to get in hardware in just a few seconds. But it would be kind of fun if you guys got in there. Galaxy. Oh. G-A-L-A-X.
Galaxy.
G-A-G. No, no. A-X-Y. Nexus. N-E-X-U-S. Rocks. R-O-C-K-S. .squarespace.com. And what's the password, Chad?
Jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
Plural. Jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
And then we're going to talk about it. You guys can add whatever you want.
And be nice.
GalaxyNexusRocks.squarespace.com. Okay.
We've been very lucky when we do this, by the way. We've only had that one time where someone was inappropriate. So, yeah.
So let's see what happens there.
Let's see what you guys come up with.
And Chad, let's go to hardware.
He was busy updating. Sorry about that, Chad. All right. it's time. We had been waiting for what, 2 months since the announcement here in the U.S.
Yeah.
for the Galaxy Nexus LTE to come out. And, you know, totally, as I kind of at a certain point expected it to be, woke up and it was like, oh yeah, it's out now. You know, there was like no, like, Verizon officially announces that in 2 days it's going to be out. It was just like, yeah, tomorrow morning you can get it, you know, whatever.
It was very anticlimactic. There were no lines. There was no, friend of mine went to Best Buy and it was just empty.
I saw a tweet peek of a line outside of a Verizon store.
There were a few, but from what I understood,
there
was a lot of stock on stuff too. So
put that on Galaxy Nexus Rocks. That's great.
You know, this close to the holiday, if they actually ended up selling out of their stock and stuff, that would kind of be a disaster too, right? They've waited so long.
Oh,
like, I bet their stock was on steroids for this. But yeah, you're right. I had no problem walking into a store and there was like maybe four people in front of me. So it was not difficult. And I don't know. I've been playing around with it since
Friday. You should go first. Yeah, this has been the phone that you've been waiting for.
Yeah, it definitely has.
You go first and talk about it.
I'll say right now, it feels weird to have a phone again. It actually feels weird.
Amazing.
It feels strange to be that.
You settled and you picked the phone.
What's that?
You settled and you picked the phone. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, I did. I stuck to it. And I, for the most part, I'm very happy with my decision. I actually really like this phone a lot. I think the first thing that I really like about it is just kind of the design, like the head-on shot of the phone. There are times when I go to use it and then I look at it and I don't end up using it. I just kind of look at it for a second because I really like the design of it. It's very pleasing to the eye. But I think, you know, beyond just the device itself, I mean, what more can you say? Ice Cream Sandwich is just, it's the kind of update to Android that once you use it and you use it, I don't know, give it a day even, but probably less than that, there's just no way you're going back. It's that good. Ice Cream Sandwich is just an incredible update to the OS. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. Takes a little getting used to the fact that widgets are lumped with apps in the app drawer, but it didn't take that much time to get used to. And you get your little widget previews. I mean, we've kind of talked to death about kind of the features of Ice Cream Sandwich, so I probably don't need to go too deep into that. I will say that the virtual buttons, I expected to like it. I love the virtual buttons. I think that is such an awesome feature. I really liked it. Eileen's happy. She's happy, apparently. I really like the virtual buttons on Honeycomb. And when I heard that they were putting that into Ice Cream Sandwich, I was really anticipating it. I don't see any problem with it. I don't understand why it's any different. It's just a button that is also a screen. Like, you know, versus having like the Razer where the buttons are down here, I'm still touching a touch screen. So why is it any different? You know what I mean? So I don't get why some people don't like the touch screen buttons, but I do. What else? The notifications is super slick, like swiping to dismiss. And I know there are, you know, other, you know, ROMs and other overlays that have kind of integrated that. In fact, Motorola on the Razer has something similar. I hope I have some notifications up there. I do. It's not a swipe. It's more like you hit the minus and they go away. It's really nice to be able to get rid of those things, and you almost get addicted to it the more you do it. You're like, you want to keep it clean, you know? But you don't want to dismiss it too soon because you might have an action that you need to do on them. So it's kind of a game in and of itself. Another thing I really love are the folders. Folders are super easy to set up. In fact, I'll just go ahead and click Skype, move it over onto voice, and boom, I've created a folder. And then if I want to name it, I can just click down there and I'll name it Hi because I'm not very creative right now. And there we go. I've got a folder named Hi with voice talking apps. I don't even know what to call them. Communication apps. There we go. One thing I don't like, actually, is the fact that settings is totally disconnected from everything. Like, you have to go into the settings app. And I guess that kind of makes sense. I just had gotten so used to going to my menu for settings and not having to dive either into another screen or, you know, take up screen real estate on my home screen.
You can pull it on notifications. You can pull it
down. Whoa, there's a tip. I did not even realize that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. that's one of my favorite things so far is just that they've added little subtle, like the settings link there. Also, when you're in the apps window, there's a link straight to the market. So they've added contextually relevant links, which are pretty smart.
So. Yeah, they, so we're in the app app drawer. We've got the link right up to the market right up there. That's a great tip. I had not even noticed that, but now that you pointed out, it seems so
No-brainer. Yeah, I've been searching because I like to get to my settings really quickly, and then I noticed that at the top, and I thought, what
Okay,
is that?
Cool. Oh. That means I can do this.
Delete,
a hold, and remove, and boom.
Yay.
Off my home screen. I would I'd show the contacts stuff because that's really beautiful too, but I don't want to
reveal people's names.
Yeah. But it's really cool. Like you know, but I will say one thing. One thing that's really weird about the contacts stuff is that they've put really put emphasis on blowing up the picture of your contacts and making them really big. Yet with Gmail, doesn't Gmail, when you add import an image, or at least people who imported an image a long time ago, imported a really low res image, and so it scales that up to this gigantic block, and it just
Ron Richards is nodding his head.
That was the first thing I did. I went into my contacts. I went to my favorites. I went, oh, pixely. It's all pixely. Photos. Yeah.
So. Of course, in the you know the like video run throughs that Google gives you, everything's in sharp, crisp HD. But your friends haven't updated you know their pictures, and granted, you can go into their contacts and you know update it yourself. But then you kind of lose the connection. Then you're overriding their image with the one you've loaded, and it'll never change if they decide to update it on their end. So
yeah, well, the question, the whole image syncing and stuff like that, especially because like what I tend to do is I go to google.com/contacts and I do it there because it's a lot easier to do on the desktop than on the phone.
Yeah.
Because I hate trying to find the URL and find the image. But if contacts is adjusting the size and then saving it, and that's what's syncing with the phone, I wonder if I'll ever get a high-res image unless I do it from the phone, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because I think the Contacts app might be doing some scaling, downscaling. I'm going to play with it because literally I just added a photo of a friend like last week, and it's super, and it's a fairly high-res photo that I added, and it's super pixely on my phone now. So
That's no good.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
The search button, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about how there is no search button anymore. Right. It's the ever-present search bar up at the top with the microphone. And so that kind of, you know, that does the trick when you want to hit that and go navigate to, man, I can't even think. I wanted to remember our address here. What is it? 140?
140 Keller.
Oh, there we go. Okay, well, the top search result is go navigate to Love Me an Act. So that wasn't what I wanted, but I guess I was in for a world of hurt there. Navigate to 140 Keller Petaluma. And so it does the same thing, 140 Keller Petaluma. So it's actually, I feel like voice recognition is better on this. I don't know if it's because it's a better microphone or what, because I don't think the software is any different.
Yeah, I think it's better, actually.
It's the same app that everybody
else has. Use voice recognition much, but I did notice that it's a lot more accurate. Which is nice.
Yeah, and actually you were kind of playing around with it just a little bit as I've been talking.
Yeah, I was playing around because you can't. I didn't want to show your phone number, but I was going to, let's see if I can text somebody or email and not have it be something, don't go to my screen yet, Chad. But yeah, the voice recognition, come back to me on that.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. So I'll just kind of finish off by saying, as far as the device itself, you've heard me talk in the past about how important the camera is to me, and I mean they're not kidding when they say no lag. I love the performance of this camera.
Take a picture.
Let's see. Is it on camera?
It's video right now.
This must be so much better for you, and you know, getting pictures of your daughter because
look at that,
how fast it goes.
No lag.
10 pictures.
It's truly zero shutter.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Truly.
I mean, it, you know, it's probably not zero shutter, but it's damn close.
0.001 milliseconds or something.
It's zero enough. and I mean, I've noticed, like, yes, I take a lot of pictures of my kid. And when she's running around, it's very easy to get blurry pictures. And I get a lot less of those here. Having said that, it has to be really well lit. If you're in poor lighting and you take a picture with this camera, I haven't noticed very good quality.
I guess that's where kind of falls short a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Front-facing camera is actually really good, too.
Have you done the face lock yet?
No, I'm not interested in the face lock.
Because you're not interested, I want to see your experiences with it.
Like real-world experiences? Okay,
Do it live.
Do it live.
I'm just pressuring you. Just do it live.
Look, we'll do it live. Okay, well, I'll get to the new settings. Do you have a few things you want to say about it?
Well, sure. Okay, let me just type in a message here. So this is the voice messaging system, a message here, and it's kind of follows slowly.
as I talk, and if you want to take my screen, and it follows. So if you make a mistake, you can delete. Do you see what I mean? Like, I think the voice recognition is pretty good. So that's one. The size itself is just a little big for me after all, and I find myself holding it in two hands a lot of times, but it's not a deal breaker. I love the speed. I love the Gmail app. Hold on one second, Chad, before I show my main Gmail address. I want to show my work address is fine. I just love the way it looks. Oh, thank you, Burke. I'm glad you answered my question. There's something about it that's real. That's much more zippy, and I don't know. The look of it is better. You can priority inbox. You can do a lot of things. It just looks better to me overall. That's one of my favorite apps on here. They give you a full folder here of all the of most of the Google apps,
which I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I like to. I go to those so often.
Yeah. These are the ones that I go to a lot. So I've just left it here on my home screen. Let me see. If I go to my gallery, I'll show you the Pano photo that I took. I love that the albums, the photos here all kind of... oh, look, there's you
I know
guys
that
right
guy.
There. Yeah, you know that guy. Let me see if I can find one that I took. The video is actually really good. So here's a Pano shot of a Christmas tree farm that I took. Very clean. I don't know if you can tell. It's hard to see here. If I posted it on G Plus, then you could see.
Right. Then you'd see the stitching. Yeah, the panoramic on this phone is very good. I mean, it's brain dead simple to use.
Yeah, exactly. I just love the fluidity of this. I don't have, no, this is something about the phone that I just think that people moving from a different OS might actually have a really good experience this time. And universally, that's what I think most people have agreed, that this is the best Android experience, the best Android phone out there right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
We do have one dissent here at Twit. And if you want to hear Leo's take on it, a lot of you already know, you can listen to Nicole's show Before You Buy. And he does his review on there, which is a completely different experience than what we've had. Because he didn't really like it at all. I keep telling him, you know, if you don't like that phone, I'll take it off your hand.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You know what?
It's fine. Because I have to give this one back. This is a review. But, you know, if you don't want your phone anymore, Leo, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, one of Leo's big complaints, not to spoil Before You Buy, but it's important
it
to kind of talk about. One of his big complaints is the Pentile screen. And
oh, right. Let's talk about that.
If you've been following All About Android, you know that a while ago I had the Droid Bionic, and it had a Pentile screen, and I could not get... my eyes could not see the Pentile screen. Like, it was that apparent to me. Now, granted, the Galaxy Nexus has a better resolution, so you imagine that everything's just a little bit smaller. Leo, of course, I set up face unlock. I guess we'll do this real quick.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
just because I want to get into my phone.
Yes.
Does it work?
No, it didn't.
Oh! Wait a minute.
See, that's why I don't use face unlock.
It's totally that light. It's totally
yeah,
light.
I think it's the light. You have
but
to.
But anyways.
No, but it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? The light, should it matter?
I don't know.
I've seen it
I guess
work
in,
well.
In a perfect world, it wouldn't matter. But.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm not going to use face unlock. I just want to open my phone. You know, I don't want to sit there and position myself. Yeah. You're not going to see what you see if you're looking at the phone in real life. But, you know, the Pentile screen, essentially what it means is when you're looking at things like a gray sheet of color and text on it, sometimes if you get really close, if you look very finely at the edges of that text and within the gray as well, you know, it's ever present. There's a little jaggedness because I think the lines of the display are kind of sharing pixels above and below, right?
They're also different color. You can see the colors differently. It's like the red, green, and blue are sort of separated out. So, for example, a white text doesn't look white. It looks like kind of pink or like sort of reddish in a way.
I see. So
like
there
a
red, is no true
like a red,
white.
Or, yeah, exactly.
And I mean, I saw it ridiculously with the Droid Bionic. I saw it to a lesser degree, but still with
the
Razer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have a hard time to see it here. So it does not jump out at me. It's not a deal breaker for me at all. I'm actually very happy with the display. We talked a little bit about how the display was kind of dull, though.
Yeah, it is a little bit dull. I watched, Ron, you'll love this. You know, I'm into Gossip Girl right now. I'm in season two. So I pulled up Netflix. The video itself, the colors when I was watching Netflix was a lot
duller than I'm used to on other devices. I don't know what that was, and I don't think it was just that episode. It didn't have a specific grain or anything. I think also what Leo's also responding to is the screen on the SGS2 versus... Yes. The,
he was comparing those two.
Yeah, and the screen, I have to admit, on the SGS2, which I do own, is much better. It's just
more
slightly
vibrant.
Crisper and vibrant. Yeah. And so I think if you have that experience, you're gonna ultimately nitpick. Although, sure. I do notice that myself. Again, it's not a deal breaker. He didn't also like, if you want to show my phone here really quick, Chad, he didn't like the task.
I'm not a big fan of that either, actually.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, it's fine.
That's the thing that I didn't like from the get-go. I just think it's too big. I think it's too bulky.
I agree. I agree. If I want to go into my recent apps, I don't want to then have to like hunt and search for it. I really liked how it kind of set out the 8 last things that I've done, because that's probably what I want to go back to instead of having to scroll up and down.
It's the real balance between how far Microsofty do you want to go with this interface. Like, for example, I think the new gallery is way better than the old gallery.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like the tiles, and I like being able to see like the a photo being the first image representing each gallery. That's great. Similar on the contacts, like the new individual, and you don't want to go on your contacts to show your phone numbers.
No, I'm not gonna do that. But
the individual contact screen has a big image, and then you swipe to the left, and you can see if they're connected to Twitter. You can see their recent tweets and things like that. Like, that's really good. But on the task switcher, I just want that to be light and quick and easy to use.
Yeah, I totally agree. And because that's kind of the function of switching tasks in that regard. It's not the type of thing that you want to spend 10 seconds just, you know, gradually kind of floating through a large list of things. Like, you want to get to that thing. You're using a task switcher to be a time saver. And the problem with the way it is right now is that it doesn't save a whole lot of time. It actually adds on time.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do love, I love the keyboard. I love, really? love
Oh, keyboard. I haven't played with it because swipe. It just inherited swipe.
I love the keyboard.
I live
the keyboard, whatever. I still love it. I don't know.
She lives it.
You know, it wanted me to say I live the keyboard.com.
I'm mixed on the keyboard. I do a lot of typos with the keyboard, but I really like the spell correction.
The spell correction is great.
And that search box is perma. Like, I have a perma search box on the top, right?
Yep, yeah, it's so permanent up there.
Yep.
And then you just go up there. You could do voice or type in search. That doesn't bug me either. I don't know. Do you guys miss the search button versus having the search up
there? No, well, we were talking about that with Applebaum when he was on the show last November. He was complaining about the lack of a search button. I mean, I'm on the Nexus S, so I still have the search button, so I'm not really that concerned about it. You know, I would have to see what life is like with that, because his problem was access to universal search from within apps.
Right.
And that's the problem. Yeah.
And that's a really good point.
And some apps do have contextual search as well, and that's gone without having that.
Yeah. But overall, I would totally recommend it as a buy. I think it's probably one of the best Android phones out there right now. I mean, you know, to a large degree, though, it's like, how much of that is the phone and how much of that is ice cream sandwich?
See, that's
you know?
Kind of like where I stand on it. I'm sort of in between buy and don't buy, just because I think the ICS upgrade is great.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardware is, I'm not entirely convinced, because I do think it's kind of lightweight. It's a little bit plasticky. I mean, that's kind of like a personal opinion, obviously.
Yeah, totally. Hey, take my video while Nicole's talking, actually.
But isn't that the big complaint with Samsung in general?
Exactly, right? I mean, it's kind of plasticky. Look at this. It's pretty flimsy.
It's totally
flimsy. That's not as flimsy as mine. As the SGS2. You get used to it, honestly.
Yeah.
I just rip it off now. Like, it's just a piece of paper.
Well, I mean, exactly. It's personal preference, right? But I mean, I mean, that's, to me, like, it kind of depends on what your preference is. Like, I would probably prefer a more solid feeling phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, the ice cream sandwich itself, I think it's almost jarringly different from everything else. And I think if you're so tied to that old Android interface, you may be like, oh my God, this is too different. I'm scared, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like,
change is okay, everybody. Change is good.
Change is good.
Don't worry.
It's good, everybody.
It'll be fine.
I'm like a half an hour into ice cream sandwich and I'm hooked.
Yay!
I'm just playing with it because literally, I mean, we were talking about it a little, but I literally installed it like 5 minutes before we went on air.
I'm like emailing you. Did you get it on your phone? You should get it. You should get it now.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked that you actually did that, and so close to the show too. It was right up to the edge, but that's awesome. Now you're in the ice cream sandwich world, so
There's no looking back.
I have to say, like, one of the highlights to me of Ice Cream Sandwich, and I think it's definitely a sign from all the Google commercials for the Galaxy Nexus. Mm. I think it's very much that human factor, right? That sort of human X factor that goes into selling a phone. That, you know, the iPhone had this, like, you know, human factor of all the commercials, and this is kind of like the Google's version of like having that human element in their phones.
Hey, Chad, there's a link there with all the commercials, and there's one with the kid trying to do face lock. I think if we have time to show it, it'd be kind of fun. It's just quick in 30 seconds talking about the human experience. And a lot, again, all four of these commercials, maybe with the exception of the ninja one, is very people-oriented.
Ninjas are people too, Eileen.
There we go. So a kid is trying to unlock and use face lock, and he's moving his hair around. Sorry, it doesn't recognize you. He's trying really hard. He's trying to put a mustache
fake
on.
Fake mustaching.
And finally gives it to his dad, who unlocks it. And now he can play some games.
Here you go, kid. Play your games.
Jeez. That's cute. That's a cute ad.
That's a great ad.
That's a great ad for the Galaxy Nexus. Yeah.
So. Okay, so now... let's get to the just real quick.
Yes.
The potential downside. And I was pulling my hair out all weekend long, I thought it was just me, but it turns out it's not. So I got this phone. I've had plenty of LTE devices at my house. I'm testing the Motorola Razr. It's 4G. It's LTE. I've had the Thunderbolt, the Bionic. No, I've always had really good 4G connectivity at home. This thing never gets on 4G. Maybe for a brief blip, and even then it gives you an indication of how strong the signal is, and it's super light. Then it'll try and toggle over to 3G because it's fail safe, it's fallback, and a lot of times when it does that, it loses data connectivity for like a minute and a half, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's really annoying when all you want to do is get on your phone real quick to do something, and it keeps saying it's not connected. So the only way that I could get around that is, you know, connecting to Wi-Fi, and even throughout San Francisco, a lot of the places that I was at, I was not getting any 4G signal. So I was thinking it was just me, it was my device, and I was going to have to take it back, and I might still, because it sounds like some people are experiencing this, some people are not. Verizon's already issued a tweet and said that they understand that there's a problem. They're working on a server or a software fix for it. Eileen, you didn't have it.
Yeah, I didn't have any.
It was driving me insane.
Yeah, I know. I feel sorry for you because I had a great experience. I only have the phone for, you know, a few days. So I said, Nicole, can I take it for this first show? She said, yes. So I've had it for about 3 days now and was in San Francisco.
You know,
4G was great. In
that
San
phone
Rafael.
You have is the one that we actually requested from Verizon.
Yeah.
So maybe they gave us a special version.
They made the anointed. Sure, the right, yes. Because it's just been fast. I've had a really good experience. Even the battery life on the first day. 9:30 a.m. I unplugged. This was the very first day. Mm-hmm. And at 6:30, 6:45, it finally told me I had to charge.
And you were on LTE that whole time.
Well, back and forth, but yes, because I was at home too, and I get LTE at home. I get the 4G strong signal at home. So yeah,
were you switching
weird.
To Wi-Fi while you were at home, or
sometimes? Yes. So it was, you know, it was a balance. Yeah. But then the next day, 6 hours, and then it was
all over the map for me too. Actually, there was no one day where I finally felt like I had an idea. Of how the battery life really is on this. And like I said, my 4G experience has been horrible. So I don't really know the 4G experience on it. I did pick up an extended battery for $25 on VerizonWireless.com. I figured $25 was worth it to have a secondary battery.
Did you get
it was
the
on
big
sale
battery?
For $50.
The big one? The 2000?
It's like hardly bigger. You know,
battery.
Yeah, I got the extended battery.
Yeah.
So I don't know how big it is, but I figured $25 is
right. It's because not very much. They say LTE does consume more battery than non-LTE phones.
Yeah, totally.
Do you have Google Wallet on your?
No, I don't have it yet. Okay. That's probably the last thing that I'll say about this is that Google Wallet can be put onto your LTE Galaxy Nexus. No root is required. I will have the instructions for that at twit.tv/AAA39. So go check that later. The one caveat that I saw out of this is that, okay, so this is kind of, I think it's a hack, right? It's because you couldn't install the Google Wallet APK straight out of the market and have it work. So apparently this is a hack that some developers were able to take that install and make it work on the LTE version. But I guess the version they pulled it from gives you a $10
credit with a prepaid credit card. I don't know if that's nice. Like, that's what's actually got me hesitating to do it, because if it's a hack, I'm not meant to have that installed. Isn't that kind of like
stealing?
Kind of like, yeah, exactly. Like installing an app because I get to take $10 from you. Like, I don't know. I feel a little weird about that personally. There are plenty of people that probably have no qualms with that, but I don't know.
Are you sure that that's not some sort of way to get you started with the app? And are they giving it to everybody? Well, I haven't seen anything about that, but...
Maybe it is. But who am I to say that they're extending that to me when I'm using a hacked version of the app? That's what I mean.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they might have that earmarked for... You know, people that aren't hacking the app. You know, I don't know.
You're a good person. That's what it comes down to. You're a Boy Scout, and I would just spend that money like that.
I'm a Boy Scout.
I know. I was thinking that too, Ron. You and me, we're so evil. I was like, oh, you get $10, and I get my coffee now. Yay! Yeah.
I mean, I want to install it. I might. I just that gave me pause. But anyways, we talked about the Galaxy Nexus a lot. Mm-hmm. Should we move on to what's next?
Let's move on to Ron talking about we're still talking about
ICS a little bit. It's kind of yours has kind of been buried into ours as well. But
yes.
Yeah, well, let's not forget our old foes of us with the Nexus S like me. I did not get the Galaxy Nexus because I'm still on T-Mobile and I didn't want to deal with switching to Verizon. It's the holidays and I have money and whatever. So I'm like, I'm just going to stick with my phone, even though I'm very jealous of you guys. But it was interesting to see in the news pop that the Galaxy Nexus S was starting to get ice cream sandwich rolled out starting today. GSM models were getting it first. So those people with Nexus S GSMs were starting to get the update, which is pretty cool. But for those of us who are impatient like me and I don't have a GSM model, which is the reason why I didn't get the update, it has been leaked that you can upgrade it yourself, which I did moments before we went on air tonight. It was really simple. All you do is you download the update package, you put it on your phone, you reboot the phone with the bootloader, you tell it where the update package is, and then it installs. And installation went swimmingly. There was no problems whatsoever. So it took maybe 10 minutes, if that.
Nice.
So, so if those of you with Nexus S's, if you really want the update, I think, are we going to put the link in the show notes?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's from Android Central, and awesome.
Yep. How to manually update your GSM Nexus S. And I highly encourage that you do it. It's not a difficult walkthrough at all. No. And it just means that you're on ice cream sandwich going forward. You want to do it.
Yeah. My phone actually might be GSM. I just didn't get the update yet. I just assumed. I never pay attention to GSM and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but when I at 7 p.m. tonight, New York time, when I checked for update, I hadn't gotten it yet. So I guess they're rolling it out in batches and that sort of thing. So
yeah, as they do. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Great. We're all on the ice cream sandwich.
Woo-hoo!
This is fantastic. All right. Wow. We spent a lot of time on ice cream sandwich and Galaxy Nexus. But, you know, it's been a long time coming, so it was deserved of that. Let's move on to apps.
Okay, switching really fast here. The first thing we want to talk about is the Facebook app. And really all we want to show you is the fact that it has Timeline. Did you guys upgrade to Timeline yet?
I didn't
brighten my phone yet.
Yeah, I updated it as soon as I could.
Yep. Okay, this is my SGS2. It's working really hard to show you Timeline.
I have to say, it looks so much better in mobile.
Yeah, it really does look
than
nice
the PC on version. Yeah. The PC version looks.
I like the PC version though. I mean,
you do like it?
Yeah, I really like it. Although I was having a conversation with a friend of mine today because this is less about the app and more about Facebook. But the way you use Facebook is on the news feed, and so you're only going to see someone's timeline if you go directly to their page. And how often do you do that? I rarely ever go to somebody's directly to their page. But it's cool. It does look very, very cool on the mobile app. And
mine is finally. There's my little picture of Perry.
Pull mine up. I want to show everyone my picture, my cover.
Okay. So do I just do a search for you? Ron.
Do it live.
I am doing it live.
like I kind of want to update this cover like every week. Like I'm I see that as a expression kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
I know. I do. I do too. And my timeline though shows that I was changing my cover like three different times. Oh, what's this? Who is that? Is that Robert De Niro?
Dark. Yeah, it's the Christmas scene from Goodfellas.
Oh, it's dark here.
Oh, wow, yeah, you really can't see it on the stream.
Sorry.
I was like, we're waiting for that to load, but no, it's actually there.
No, I got to turn up my brightness on this thing. Sorry. We can go back to it later. But anyways, Timeline is there if you guys have updated your Facebook account.
So you will only see the Timeline layout
if you have upgraded your Facebook profile on the web.
Or someone has published it.
It's yes. dark. It's just dark.
Yeah, it's a yeah. dark photo. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yes. But, yeah, so
Closer.
So if the user that you're looking at their page, if they've published their timeline, that's the way you see it. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's yeah. great. It's a really cool layout. I like it a lot on mobile.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah. Another just a really quick update here. Google Plus update, which adds a couple of things. They kind of tweaked how the photos are shown, and that's pretty fancy. But the thing that I really actually like is that they've included Hangouts into the mobile app. Actually, when I think about it, though, when was the last time I did a Hangout? It's been a really long time.
But since the second day Google Plus debuted.
I know, right? Where we're all like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. And we forgot about it. But it's pretty cool. Like, I'll go ahead and start this Hangout. Chad, if you want to take the thing, it allows you to, adjust your hair. And it almost looks like I'm doing Face to Unlock. Hangout.
And then do I see that?
And then if you have the app.
And
yeah, so now go over
now
to Eileen.
Jason is in a hangout.
I have to
go. Okay.
And so, let's see.
Now what happens here? I have to do this? Do I just...
There you go. Check your hair.
Okay.
You want it to look good.
I think my hair is okay now. Now what?
Oh, did it not give you... Oh, it's connecting.
My phone. Time out while connectivity. Let me go into Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I had to put mine on Wi-Fi. Sometimes the signal in here is not that great. But then sometimes the Wi-Fi in here is not that great, too. So you don't really know which way to go. But anyways, you can initiate Hangouts on your device. And that's... Oh, wait a minute.
I'm here now. Uh-oh. Hi, Jason.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, my God. It's so good to see you. Ron, are you going to join this Hangout or not?
I don't know if I've upgraded the app.
Fail.
Where are you?
Where are you, Ron? I'm here.
How do I find it?
This is the weirdest demo ever.
Yeah, it really is. But rest assured, audio listeners, we're on Hangouts and we're on our phones doing it. So that's pretty cool. I'll go ahead and cancel that out so we don't feedback anymore. And I'm, pretty psyched about that. Fun.
Because before you could just join a Hangout. You can't start one.
I actually have one of my best friends, person that I've lived in San Francisco at the same time with the longest, is moving to Australia today. In fact, he's flying out tonight. Oh. And Hangouts is going to come in really handy because we're all going to still want to drink together. And Hangouts is a great way to like remotely drink together. Y'all get on the Hangout at the same time, take a shot at the same time. It'll be great fun. So
I know Jason's going to be dealing with Hangouts.
That's
soon.
Right. Although in Australia, it's going to be like 6 hours
earlier. Morning.
Well, yeah, it's the next day, but 6 hours earlier than now or something like that. So anyways, whatever. Knowing this guy, that won't matter much to him. All right, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford and Ford Sync with My Ford Touch. Now, Leo actually had a chance to take a firsthand look at Sync technology in the cabin. So let's see what he had to say.
So we're back at the Twit Brick House, and I have a volunteer. Michael. See, when you go on a long car trip, nice to have something for the kids to do. I brought a little laptop. I got my iPhone. He's got his iPad. But what about the Wi-Fi? Oh, no problem. I brought along my Wi-Fi access spot, a.k.a. my Ford Focus. So, Michael, hop in here. You get in that side. I'm going to get in this side. I'm going to show you how I can use this USB Wi-Fi dongle or 3G dongle to turn this into a Wi-Fi access spot. When you travel with kids, as you know, it's really nice to have some entertainment for them. They like to get online. Maybe they want to surf the web or do a little email, play some games. Ford's realized that getting connected inside your car is a big deal. That's why they have added Wi-Fi access capability to the 2012 Ford Focus. Let me show you how it works. I take this, this is a Virgin Mobile, but a lot of companies make these. It's a USB 3G transmitter. Now, normally you plug this into the computer and the computer is online, but what if we have more than one device? We can get up to 5 devices online by plugging this into the Focus. Now that is going to turn the whole car into an access spot. So now Michael can put his iPad on the Wi-Fi in the car. I can put my iPhone on the Wi-Fi in the car. Up to 5 devices. I even have one of these Google Chromebooks, which likes having a little Wi-Fi so it can get online. And here I go. I just connect it up, find the Wi-Fi access spot, pick it, put in the password, and I'm online. I love this. As we drive down the highway, everybody's happy. Thank you, Ford. One of the many nice features in the Ford Focus for 2012, and of course, available on other Ford vehicles. Why don't you go to your Ford dealer and drive one today? Or visit the website, ford.com/technology. You ready to go? All right, let's hit the road.
Right on,
Leo.
Thank
you, Leo.
I'm really surprised it's still light out there. I thought I'd been here a lot longer.
Yeah, me too.
Then it feels really late. I'm just going to say that. So check out ford.com/technology to see all about what Leo's talking about there. All right. Without further ado, let's get rough and tumble. Let's get in the arena. Come on.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
Gee, who won last week?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't here last week.
I didn't even look.
Oh, look at that.
Thank you. I am back.
Yeah. You know what? What's pretty funny about World of Goo is that after you then did that review, and then this past weekend I was over at a friend's house and pulled up on the Nintendo Wii, and she's like, oh, I'm playing this awesome game. It's called World of Goo. And I was like, I can't. It's following me.
You like try and talk her out of it. You're like, no, check out my app.
No, you should check out Soundtracking. It's pretty cool. Let's listen to music.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody who voted for World of Goo, including the United States of America and Canada.
The entire North America, I believe you got there.
But Ron, you took Brazil from me. You got that. What did
and
I get?
India,
did I get Libya?
China.
Oh, Algeria. Thank you. You got China, Ron. They love you in China and India and Spain.
Nice. Well, I am a communist, so.
I didn't know that about you.
I voted. I visited you recently, France, so thanks very much.
Based off our new rules, if Jason, so the person who goes first is the person who lost, but Jason wasn't here, so, and does that mean I lost and I have to go first, or does Jason go first because he wasn't there?
It's a good question.
I'd say the true loser goes first. Just kidding, Ron. But yes, you should go first.
Burn.
In fact, I'm moving it up to the top right now. It's you, Ron.
And I'm going to pull up your app right now. I'm ready for you.
As well. So we're gonna dive right in then.
Yeah, okay. We are.
I mentioned this I think on last week's show that I've been playing with this app on. I'm trying to play more tablet apps. Trying to play with my Motorola Zoom, which I have right here, and check out some of the cool different gingerbread or soon to be ice cream sandwich enabled applications. And one of them that I discovered that was interesting was called Taptu. Taptu, and what caught me about it was the log line in the Android marketplace, which was like, it was like DJ your news or mix your news or whatever. And basically, it's this idea of this interactive kind of way to mix together all of your feeds. So what you can do is you can pull in RSS feeds from blogs, you can pull in your Facebook timeline, you can pull in your Twitter stream, whatever basic sources you can do, you can mix them all in, and then from within those sources, you can then also categorize by music or sports or technology or whatever. And so you can mix together a tech stream or a sports stream or something like that. So it's another RSS reader. But if you ask me, like comparing this to Pulse, I was really impressed by what you could do with this, just by the interface and just some of the different kind of interactions. And I felt there was an edge Pulse just a little bit in terms of being a neat way to consume news.
What should I do here, Ron?
I believe it's free. I can't really see. So if you tap on something, it should expand and show you. It shows you the article, and then from within the article, it's the pretty standard. You know, you can tweet it out, you can share it, you can bookmark it, you can post about it. You know, there's all the different kind of sharing kind of things that you would expect from it. But you know, it's a more immersive kind of visual tablet style way to interface with your RSS feeds and your news. That's pretty. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but you can see it here. It's a little more visual and a different kind of interface than what from straight up Google Reader or from just from Pulse. So,
okay,
is this a tablet only app or does it also work on phone?
That's a very good question. I don't remember.
Oh, actually, it has phone interface. There we go.
Yeah, there it does. Yeah, yeah. So it's similar interface there. So,
interesting.
So what's neat is in the upper right hand corner. Do you see the DJ button?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is where you can control, and it brings up what they call the Stream Studio, and this is where you can move different feeds up and down. You can merge them together. So, for example, I've got you've also got the Android stream in there, which is curated by the folks at Tap2. So you can see that's 21 different sources that are giving you Android-related news. So what you could do is you add all your feeds to here, and then within the Stream Studio, you can merge. And so for example, on my interface, I've got a comic stream and I've got an Android stream. So it's a different way to kind of mix in those feeds as opposed to just having, you know, I've got tons and tons of feeds of websites that I read on a daily basis, and then you just scroll horizontally to see the chronological views. So,
I see.
Yeah, see.
Okay, very cool.
What's great in the upper right hand corner, if you see the menu button. And you hit add streams. You were doing that earlier. They've got preset streams already, so they're featuring individual sites. But then if you click in the middle, there's topics, and they've already set up, specific topics, whether you're into sports, fantasy football. They've got guest DJs. And so they've got and right now these are all kind of curated by Tap2. But the idea, I guess, is that they're going to get more and more people kind of creating little streams that you could follow and kind of bringing a little bit of a community around news streams. So it's pretty cool. And they have a whole section called Lulls.
I like the Lulls. I went in there.
Yeah. So, and it's easy to sync up to your Google Reader account. So if you set up all your Google Reader stuff, it pulls it right in. And it was just really easy to use. And once you get the hang of it, and once you figure out how to add feeds and organize them, stuff like that, you could pretty much create two or three of these streams that are perfect for what your interests are. So
that's cool. I like that.
Joy, animal sponsorships. Okay. Yeah. And sponsor a bear. Good.
Cool.
Now I've learned. Thank you.
And most importantly, it's free. So if you have a tablet and you're looking for cool ways to show off how to use your tablet, it's totally free. And it's got Lulls. There you go.
They're doing it for the Lulls.
Oh, yep. I didn't even show it on vertical. This is what it looks like if I change the orientation of the screen here. Yep. Just to give you a little more play here. Cool.
Yeah, it definitely has kind of a pulse, but with a pulse feel, but with a lot more kind of import options.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the interface, it's picking up a lot from Pulse in that regard. But then I just really like the idea to build these streams and to build these, kind of merge the different sites into and build a topic stream versus just one for sites. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting way to organize it based off your interests. So
yeah, totally.
All right.
Right cool. on. All Thanks right. So who goes next?
Not me. I won.
Okay. There we go. That's what I was thinking. prepare to not win.
Okay.
Because
about that.
Hey, you're talking a big game about this one, man.
No, Jason's been talking on email.
Yeah,
and
all weekend.
On the show. Yeah.
When you got a lock, you got a lock.
Really?
Well, I hope so. I certainly hope so. And I hope that this is helping my chances. It might actually be doing the opposite. But I was super stoked to find out that the Laserdisc game Dragon's Lair has been ported to Android.
Okay.
And I was a huge fan of that game when I was a kid. So, if you've seen it, great. If you haven't, I'll show it off a little bit. There's no Laserdisc in here, but the original was, a big arcade game machine with a Laserdisc player in there.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great if there was a dongle that you could attach and you put a Laserdisc behind your phone and it spun while you were playing.
That would be awesome. That would make it, maybe a little less convenient, but still very awesome. A little more authentic. So I'll go ahead and tap to begin. Oh, man. It says I need to download. Well, lucky me, I have it on the Razer, too, so let me pull it up here. There we go.
Want audio,
oh, yeah,
audio,
you definitely
audio.
Want audio on this sucker. Okay, we're up and running. So I hope this works for you. Let me see. You should have audio now, do you?
Ooh, Don Bluth.
There we
Yay.
Go.
All right, so save game is in progress here. It's a straight-up port of the arcade game. So let's go ahead and play the game. Home mode. Do you want to start this new game? Yeah, I don't mind. I'll start a brand new game. It looks great. It's got all the on-screen controls, right? And it's just a digitized version of the arcade game. But it's pretty easy.
It looks kind of great.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. So you hit the buttons essentially when the lights come on, and you get to see the rest of the adventure. Man, when this came out, this was such a groundbreaking, revolutionary style of game because it just looked so good.
Animation is great.
I was so bad at this.
Yeah, I you know, Space Ace was the really, really hard one. This one was hard, but not too incredibly hard. Space Ace was next to impossible.
What was killer about this one, it was like 50 cents every play, so it was like double the other.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, no, it was expensive because it looked so good. Meanwhile, they're just playing video straight off of a Laserdisc. But now, they're not. Now it's all on your Android device. When you purchase it, oh no, I failed, and I died.
You will not win.
Yes, I was a huge fan of this. It's $4.99 in the Android market. When you first purchase this game and you download it, you then have to download a pretty large packet of data in order to even get to playing it because it's a lot of full motion video and stuff. But, you know, it's just a great way to kind of relive an old video game that, for me, just has a lot of, you know, it's very close to my heart. And I just spent a lot of my childhood playing these Laserdisc games. I really hope that they continue to do this with the other games as well, especially Space Ace, because I'd love to relive that one. It's hard to play sideways, so I'm not going to play anymore. But it's Dragon's Lair, and it's $4.99. It's the original Dragon's Lair. $5 is not that much to have such awesomeness. So go check it out, and I dare you, Eileen, to top that.
Ooh, throw down.
Wow. Harsh.
Harsh. Ouch.
Dragon's Lair.
Rawr.
Yes. Dirk the Daring.
Oh, this was so cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, just when you were in the arcade and you saw this trailer playing, like, you had to play. Even though it was 50 cents, you were like, yes.
It was 50 cents and you were dead in, like, 2 seconds.
Yes, totally.
And then when the one time you saw an older kid who knew what he was doing, you would just sat there and watch, like, a movie. It was awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
In the mysterious caverns below the castle, your odyssey continues against the awesome forces that oppose your efforts to reach the...
I mean, look at all this awesomeness. All right, that's probably good. There you go. All right, Dragon's Lair, check it out. What you got, Eileen?
Oh, well, I also have a game, too. Oh. I'd like to thank Burke McQuinn for, I don't know if I really need, well, yeah, I guess there's a, it's not like there's music or anything, but just in case. Burke McQuinn, one of our engineers here, said, Eileen, you better check out this game. And this was months ago, and I've been playing it on my phone, but I wanted to show you on the tablet and show you some easier levels. My game is called Apparatus, which is kind of like X Construction, Ron. Remember we talked about that way back in the day?
Love that game.
So yeah, anyways, game. Let me launch Apparatus here. It's $2.45 in the Android marketplace. But the premise of this game, which FYI, they have a Christmas level pack. I'm not going to go to that right now. I haven't looked at the Christmas level pack. I'm going to go back to level one. Auto said, would you like to recover? Yeah, it's fine. So basically, as you can see here, the object of the game is to get the ball into a little box here at the end. And the way you do that is you build. And you need to build by moving certain objects on the screen. It's kind of like 3D. It's a puzzle game. But if you like to build things, let's see here. I'm going to move the... That's not going to work here. Sorry. I'm going to move the piece of wood here at a place so that I can just hit play at the top here and hope that the ball rolls in. Boom. Level complete. Next level. And it gets harder and harder as we go. So I need this ball here. Unfortunately, if you're looking at audio, I need to get it into the upside down box up at the top left here. And let's see here. How do I do that? And again, each level gets harder and harder and harder. So this, I think, is going to drop here. I hope that that means that the piece of wood will go boop and throw that ball into the box. And boop. Yep, level completed.
Oh,
there's
cool.
Not much... there's not much here.
It's like a physics. It's like a physics game.
Yeah, it's a really good physics game. Okay, now I'm going to actually... Yes, I'm going to go back to the menu. I do want to see this Christmas level because I'm really curious. The Christmas level pack.
Ornaments.
I don't know. Oh,
presents.
There's some presents.
Presents.
Here.
You get presents.
What the heck am I doing, though? See how you can just move along. You can
the
kind
animation,
of,
I have to say, is really good.
And then you can
the graphics
enlarge.
Are pretty good.
You can think about it. This is on the tablet, too, which I think it's better on the phone.
Oh, is
it?
What
am I doing here?
The nail?
Nail, right
nail.
There.
Yeah, I see the nail. Okay, guys, I need your help.
But what am I? What's going?
I think you
in?
Have to play and see what happens, and then you, and then.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Oh, see, it's that charging thing.
Oh,
you have to get that into the
interesting. Yeah. So this here needs to maybe go up here.
Wow, you could spend a lot of
Do
time.
Do you see how many? How long?
Oh, look at that!
You could spend. There's a wrench, and sometimes there's a hammer. Okay, did that work? If I hit play, oh.
Yay! Oh, you got it. Good job.
I
thought you missed it, but I guess I was looking at the wrong thing.
Okay.
That's
so
pretty
anyways,
sweet. I like
that is apparatus. It's a puzzle building block kind of game. And as you could see, there's a new Christmas level, and it's $2.45 in the Android marketplace. It's been around for a little bit, and I've been
meaning
to
show game. It off.
There's a light version of that game, too, if you want to try it for free.
A light version?
A light version.
Like oh, yeah,
L-I-T.
There you go.
There's a free version if you want to try it out.
There you go. Perfection by accident. That's how you love. That's how you win, right? You feel good about yourself.
Nice.
Perfection by accident. That's how you love.
Perfection by accident. Maybe that's the title of our show. Perfection by accident. Thank you very much, someone. Anyways, that's my game.
That.
If you guys want to use your noggin and try to figure out building blocks and things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Yeah. I was stoked when I saw that in here because that's one of those games that I keep seeing, mm-hmm. Keep seeing people talk about. And I saw it in the blogs when it first came out and everything. And I was always very curious to check it out, but I never actually did. So that looks like a lot of fun. I don't know if it looks like more fun than Dragon's Lair. almost as much fun. All right, so this week's poll can be found at bit.ly/poll39AAA.
And I would like to remind everyone that Tap 2 is free and it's got walls. Just saying.
That's important information, Ron.
Free lols.
Dragon's Lair is $5 more than Tap 2, but worth every penny.
There you go.
That's a harder sell, actually. bit.ly/poll39AAA. Check it out and vote.
The votes are coming in. Dang.
Yeah, it doesn't take long for these votes to start coming in. We actually won't be following up on this until
Another
2 case. Weeks from now.
I know.
Next week, actually, is a all feedback episode.
It is, yes.
And so we are going to, for our arena next week, be picking out our favorite app of the year and challenging them. These don't have to be apps that were in a past arena. It doesn't have to even be an app as far as I chose, that was released this year. It just has to be our favorite app of the year. The app that we discovered this year that we love more than any other app or that, mm-hmm. that we want to put into the arena. So that's next week's episode. And then we'll check in on both of these arenas the following week.
Yeah. So. Sounds good.
All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode of All About Android. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us yet again. And
yes.
And let people know, just if we haven't already talked a lot about Before You Buy, just kind of what, where should people go? What can they expect to find?
Yeah, definitely go to twit.tv/BYB. That's where all the product review shows will be hosted and it will just be released there. You can also go to youtube.com/twit. And they're under the sort of Before You Buy little sub channel there. And you can see all of our individual reviews there as well. So, yeah.
Right on. And you're going to see people from all throughout Twit.
I'm reviewing a My Touch right now.
Oh, T-Mobile My Touch.
So, there you go.
Yeah, Android fans especially have a lot to look forward to because
there are
a lot of Android
phones
out there. So we're going to be
reviewing
a lot of
Android
lot of
devices.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, that's great. Well, cool. That's it. Ron, why don't you go ahead and plug your stuff?
Yeah, real quickly, everybody can find me at about.me/RonXO. That's where you can find links to all my Twitter, my Facebook, Google+, all the fun stuff, all the places I live on the web. You get my blog, all that cool stuff. And if you like comic books, check out graphically.com, the company I work for by day. We make apps. They're available on Android, on the Amazon platform, on Nook Color. Great stuff, as well as ifanboy.com, the website all about discussion comics. It's the end of the year, and I'm tired. So there you go.
Radical. We're right there
with
you.
With the tiredness. And I'm Eileen Rivera. You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV or about.me/EileenRose or on
gplus.to/EileenTV.
Thank you, Ron.
Wow.
That's
He's my
talent.
PR guy.
I'm Eileen's Google PR person.
Yes, he is.
I'm Eileen's evangelist.
Oh, so. Should we check out Galaxy Nexus Rocks?
I actually just pulled it up.
Let's do it.
So galaxynexusrocks.squarespace.com may or may not be a site by the time you hear this. But it is right now. And
looks good, guys.
Yeah.
Yay. Look at that.
Yeah, it's been tweaked. There's a lot of Android videos and pictures on there.
The Verizon line right there.
See? Oh, there is a line.
Right there. Scroll down. Chad.
All the way down.
All the way down. There you go. See? It's a line.
It's a bona fide line.
Why are they all in black?
Because it's cold.
Are they mourning?
It's just New York City.
There's a line in New York City.
That's how we dress here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's cold. Nobody has any colorful dresses.
Right. Well, you guys are awesome. Thanks for actually creating an awesome Galaxy Nexus site using Squarespace. That's awesome. And for me, Raygun01. On Twitter, you can also find me at about.me/Jason Howell. That's it for this week. Voicemail, send us voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Email and voicemail to aaa@twit.tv. Hit the show up on Twitter. It's @AndroidShow. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. Have a radical Christmas. Please, have a great holiday. I know we're going to be doing a little bit of relaxation, maybe a little gift opening. Hopefully you get some Android goodness in your stocking. That's it for this week. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Happy holidays.
Bye. Hmm? These in your stocking?
Apparatus?